There is a Bible for psychiatrists and psychologists in terms of what they call mental illnesses and disorders or personality disorders. What are the names for those things and what are the characteristics of each one? That Bible, that book, is changing. The American Psychiatric Association started unveiling proposals for a revised Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, also known as the DSM. The proposals will be debated, and a DSM-5 is likely to be created by 2013. It'll recategorize some of what counts and what does not count as mental illness, and it's a contentious debate, let me just say. Our next guest is someone who's been in the trenches of revising the DSM. He edited DSM-4 in the early 90s, and he has some criticisms about the proposals for the current manual. Dr. Michael First, a professor of psychiatry at Columbia University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are some of these proposals that could actually make serious changes in this manual?
Well, as you can imagine, the last book came out in 1994, so there's been a lot of science that has occurred in the past 15 years. So you could imagine that there's justification to make a number of changes. There are different kinds of changes. I think some of the changes are reclassifying disorders that are now to something else. Like one of the changes is they're planning to add a new disorder called temper dysregulation with dysphoria for children that used to be diagnosed as juvenile bipolar disorder. So sometimes you're just getting this, a patient will get a different name for a condition than they had before. And then there's some proposals for new disorders which will capture people who were never diagnosed with anything before. And it's those disorders which, to me, create the most concern to make sure that people who don't have a mental disorder aren't caught up in the net of having a diagnosis
labeled
that they really
as.
Don't have. A label, exactly.
You know, this debate calls up criticism that I've already seen in blogs and on the net of people saying, for goodness sake, do you have nothing better to do than to argue over names for a mental illness? All this angst over what you're going to call something.
Well, what you call something has a huge implication. I mean, certainly, the names have treatments associated with them, certain levels of stigma. So the name is extremely important. It's not just simply how many, angels could dance at the head of a pin. It actually makes real-life difference for patients' lives, for clinicians.
Well, in the case of this temper dysregulation and dysphoria, it's the difference between Johnny's throwing a tantrum and some actual disease.
Well, the name itself is unfortunate because it makes it sound like it's just Johnny throwing a tantrum. When you actually look at the definition, it's very, very serious. And the fact is these kids are being brought in for treatment. I think the motivation behind that particular proposal is right now these kinds of kids, which are very, very difficult to control, get brought into child psychiatrists. They open up the DSM now. The disorder that looks most like it is bipolar disorder because these kids often are very moody. So they give them the label bipolar disorder, and they start treating them with drugs that are meant for adult bipolar disorder, creating problems. So the motivation for coming up with a new name is to say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't bipolar disorder. This is, whether this is the greatest name remains to be seen, but it's something different than bipolar disorder, and hopefully you'll look at the child differently and treat the child differently.
We actually got a post from a listener at our website. We've been asking people to call in about the power of labels. And David wrote, I know in the case of ADHD, having a name for my inability to focus gave me a chance in school as a child. The label mattered to the school district, and they have a name and a solution to the disorder gave them the information they needed to give me the respect I required. Thanks to that, I was no longer just a lazy student.
Right, and the thing about labels is they have a plus side and a minus side. I think your listener really pointed out generally what's considered to be the positive side. The negative side is the stigma associated with it. There are groups like the transgender community is trying to get gender identity disorder out of the DSM because they find that the label is something which causes discrimination and says these people are crazy when in fact a number of people in the transgender community feel this is a variant of normality, the way homosexuality is viewed. So the label can actually, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative.
Well, let's go to someone now who deals with this double-edged sword all the time. Susan Resko is the executive director of the Child and Adolescent Bipolar Foundation, and she has a 16-year-old son with bipolar disorder. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So you heard the doctor discussing the new temper dysfunction disorder in replacement in certain cases for kids who have been labeled with bipolar disorder in the past. Do you see these changes as a good thing?
I do. I agree with Dr. First on a lot of points. There's been a lot of debate about whether bipolar disorder can exist in childhood, and I don't think that this rules this out, but it gives another category for kids that don't fit exactly into this criteria, and a lot of people refer to these kids as diagnostically homeless. But the important point, and I agree with Dr. First, is that it's not just a temper tantrum. These kids are severely ill. They cannot function at home or at school. And this disorder, whatever we call it, is ruining lives.
Do you think that labels matter to the extent that, have you seen in your son's case at least, that what his illness is called has changed the way people treat him?
Well, certainly at the school. He's received a lot of accommodations as a result of the label, and deservedly so. It's allowed him to function. The label temper I'm not really thrilled with, because I think it will be caught up in 30-second sound bites by the media as kids throwing temper tantrums, but it's much more than that. So there's a lot of questions that still remain to be answered, but this is one possible solution to a large group of kids that don't fit the bipolar criteria.
That's Susan Resko. She's the executive director of the Child and Adolescent Bipolar Foundation. Dr. Michael First, let me ask you, you have some criticisms about the process?
Well, it's more my concern about some of the new disorders that are being proposed. They have the potential to diagnose people who, first of all, have never had a diagnosis before, which is sometimes good because they come for help, but it also has the potential of mislabeling people. The one that concerns me the most is something called the psychotic risk syndrome. It's trying to identify teenagers at risk for schizophrenia. That's a very laudable goal, because if you could intervene early, that you might be able to prevent it, but there is no effective intervention. And the way it's defined, it has the potential of mislabeling millions of teenagers, yes.
Okay, Dr. Michael First, professor of psychiatry at Columbia University. He also edited the DSM-IV, the manual that precedes the one they're working on now.